Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be thinking together about giving, tithing, and good stewardship of ourselves, our spiritual lives, and our financial resources as a church. But just for these, I've got some fruit here. If I were to cut these open, an apple, a tomato, and a nectarine, what do you think I'm going to find inside? Seeds. Right. Shall we see what happens then? Let's cut the apple open. Do you think there's going to be loads of seeds? Or just a few? Just a few? There's two. But if I were to give you those seeds, you could probably take those away and actually plant an apple tree. And if you looked after it properly, it would grow. So what happens if I cut the nectarine open? What do you think would be inside that? Yes. Do you think there'd be another seed? Sure? Just one? Or do you think there'd be more? Let's have a look. It's not even right, this one. It's what you get for going to Asda late at night. Not right. I can feel it. I can feel it. Let's try again. Oh dear. I'm going to have to put this away for another day. But inside here would just be one. But again, you could take that one seed and you could plant it and you might get a nectarine tree out of it. And the last one is the tomato. What do you think we'll find inside the tomato?
You can eat the seeds.
You can eat the seeds, can you? Can you eat those other seeds?
No.
How many seeds do you think there are in here? Loads. You bite them open and the juice starts to go everywhere. But can you see, as I cut it open, loads and loads of seeds? And if you were to take those away and plant them, you would have probably loads and loads of tomato plants and you'd end up making some people very, very happy. So opening a piece of fruit like that is a bit like getting a present. You open the fruit, and inside there's the seed, and you can take the seed. You could keep it for yourself. You could give the seeds to somebody else, and they could benefit from them. They could start to grow their own plants as well. So what we're thinking about today is about giving. We're respecting that every good thing for us comes from God, and it's what we have and what we do with it that's really important. That's what we're thinking about today. All of God's good gifts. It's really good to see on the table here so many gifts and donations that we can actually pass on to the food bank. Maybe we feel some kind of reflected glory, if you like, because we're able to do some good for other people. We give of what we have so that others can benefit. And thank you for doing that, because it's incredibly important, especially in our current economic times, that we do what we can to help and support other people. According to statistics from Oxfam, one in five people in this country are living below the poverty line. And I think in this parish, it's much worse than that. Over 1 million people will have to use a food bank in the UK this year. And there are up to 3 new food banks opening all the time, every week. And quite often, they are held in and they're supported by churches. And we see loads of charity shops. There is a demand for cheap clothing, and that demand is rising. But one in six people now sell their clothes on sites like eBay rather than donating them. Some of us might have an incredibly lean wardrobe, but do you actually check the bottom of your wardrobe? Apparently, women own 20 pairs of shoes each on average, but will only wear 5 pairs regularly. And with men, apparently it's 7. And if you're anything like me, you probably end up wearing pretty much the same pair every day. What you've got just does for you. So we could donate a pair of shoes, or we could give away that optimistic outfit that we've either grown out of for whatever reason, or we've convinced ourselves that we're never going to wear. But let's talk about greed, efficiency, and generosity. The books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, two books before it in the Old Testament, are a stern reminder about greed and about over-harvesting. And those stories are made all the more real by our modern plight today. Parts of the sea are already overfished. Intensive farming is now using pesticides that kill the bees that the farmers actually need in the first place to pollinate the crops. And everywhere, in the name of efficiency, agricultural industries just bleed the land dry. And we've got fracking, the latest technology designed to squeeze the very last drop of profit from our emaciated planet, and a new oil field that was approved earlier this week as well. But I've got some sympathy with the idea of efficiency, because after all, waste is surely not part of God's plan. But the sort of harvesting we hear about in the book of Deuteronomy wasn't about waste. Instead, it was all about generosity. It was not about leaving food to rot. It was about allowing the poor to harvest their own and everyone to bring their gifts as a form of taxation, as it was at the time. But it meant that the economy could be strengthened and people could support each other. But some people were only able just to glean around the edges of the field, as you might read about in the book of Ruth. And there was a real sense of shame in being only able to glean around the edge of the field rather than to harvest your own crops. Maybe that same sense of shame comes out again today. There's a real sense of shame for many people about actually having to go and use a food bank. But for some, it's an absolute necessity. And we keep hearing in the news, is it going to be heat or eat? That's the question that is on so many people's lips, particularly as winter again starts to approach. But dignity can be maintained. But where else might we be pursuing efficiency in our lives? Are we pursuing efficiency in such a way that we become greedy and we forget to be generous? Well, here's a sobering statistic for you. In the UK, 21% of all 16 to 24-year-olds are unemployed. That's over a fifth. And in Europe, it's even higher. It's about a quarter. But businesses are often full of stressed-out senior managers, too busy working to keep in touch with family and friends, too overwrought to sleep, too frightened to take annual leave in case their absence makes the organisation realise that in the first place it might actually be able to cope without them. Can you imagine what it would do to society if we sent parents home to spend time with their children and sent the teenagers out to work instead? But we can't afford to do that. But sometimes we're not just greedy about work, whether it's paid or otherwise. We get greedy and selfish about a lot of things. Things like pay, things maybe like pensions. And sometimes we get really selfish about the things that are less important. Are we going to get that seat on the crowded bus or train? Is somebody going to have to suffer for our benefit? But one of the things we're often so greedy about is money. We've never seemed to have enough of it. Quite a lot of people are always thinking, actually, another £1 million, if I had £1 million, that's going to make such a difference to my life. And all the adverts on TV talk about get-rich-quick schemes, how to become millionaires very quickly just by reordering your life, and it just suddenly seems so easy to accumulate all this wealth. And sometimes it may feel as though society is paved with gold and there's actually easy money to be made. But for most of us, that's not going to be the reality. We are reliant on our income, our salary, or our pension. And when we're entrusted with that, it's up to us to work out how we're going to use it for ourselves. Harvest celebrates that all good gifts come from God. But how, if we have received from God, are we going to give back to God? What I always recommend doing every year is a kind of personal financial audit. I tend to do mine around April time because I have to fill in a tax return every year. So it causes me to sit down with my budget and work out what I've got coming in and where I can lay things to go out. It causes me to think about what I'm actually spending my money on. How am I going to shop in a way in which I can support myself, but which speaks to me as being the most ethically minded way of doing that? How am I going to give things away? What am I going to give away? For myself, and I don't say that this is true for everyone, but I believe that the commandment in the Bible is that I should give away 1/10 of my income. And I do. And it's sometimes hard to see those figures coming out of the bank account every month as you realize that other prices are going up. But I believe that this is a biblical commandment on my life, and I feel that I have to respond. Not out of any sense of pride, but I believe that God has blessed me with so much, and therefore, for my part, I have to give of what I have. And I think if we give with what we have, then God will truly bless us in return. But we need to do that with a sense of generosity in our hearts. Not giving because we feel we have to, but giving because we actually want to. And we also know that churches are struggling as well. And next week, when we look at tithing, I've put together a slideshow for you just to show how much income the church gets every year and what we actually use it for. And the results might well be quite surprising. I've got some very interesting statistics for you. But there's a part of the Church of England that they call themselves the Ethical Investment Advisory Group. They came up with a fairly useful concept a few years back that they called enoughness. And let's just focus on that. Just having enough. Having enough just to be able to have that space to breathe. Just to have that space where everything feels lighter. Do we have enough, or are we instead greedy and selfish? Greed can make us so heavy that we actually topple ourselves. And that's just not the Christian view of doing things. Most traditions will have stories about the effects of greed on people. For instance, there's a West African folk tale about a starving man who found a stone that would grind flour on its own. Whenever he visited the stone, he was careful just to take enough flour from his for his family. And his cousin saw him flourishing and got really jealous. The cousin tricked the man into revealing where the stone was located. And when that cousin found it, he stole it and carried it away on his head. But when he got home, he found that the stone wouldn't come off his head. It just kept grinding and grinding until his greed literally ground him into little pieces. There are so many other tales of that kind. And the traditional collect or prayer for harvest that we heard is a reminder of this. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, and for our own well-being. Note that we come second. It's the people in need who come ahead of us. Harvest festivals have always been about offering part of the harvest, the first fruits, as a thanksgiving to the Creator of them. And so maybe we should be thinking now about how we offer things to God. Are we offering what we can afford? Are we offering what we choose to afford? Is there more that we could do? Do we really need that latest kind of product? Or are we giving enough of what we have to God? And I fully get that for so many people, this is a really, really difficult thing. It's true for all of us. Prices go up. Prices of everything go up. Mortgages get threatened. We struggle to put our cars on the road. We struggle to put food on our table. But I do believe that if we are reflective, if we place ourselves into that position where we can be gladfully generous, where we can embrace that spirit of enoughness and just work out what we need to get by and what we can give to God. I believe if we can do that, God will take what is offered with a generous heart, God will bless it, and we will receive it back from God in ways we don't always understand. So everything that we have, everything that we enjoy, we have been given by God. So that means that we all are chronically in debt. We're in debt to God for everything that we actually have. All things come from you, O Lord, and of your own do we give you, we often say at the offertory. So before we presume to grab the steering wheel from God and get all hoity-toity about our priorities, we should stop and think what God might like us to do with our, or more importantly, God's money and our talents, the talents that have been given to us from God. Unlike companies like Wonga, God is not going to demand 5,853% APR on the debts that we have. But it's worth asking ourselves again at this time of year, what is God's purpose for us, and what are we currently doing with our time, our money, and our talents? Are we truly reflecting the purpose that God has for us? Are we being good stewards of everything that has been entrusted to us? And if we think about it, what's the harvest that we've produced this year? But we may be worried that our small efforts will never bring about the kingdom in our lifetimes. But if we take a look at this church, look at what we've already given to help feed those in need in this parish, and think how easy that probably was for you to do, to grab an extra packet when you go down to Tesco's, Morrison's, or Aldi. But as we give, we should be thinking, is there something else that we can be generous about during this next year that might be just as easy to do and in the end be just as effective? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.